We are more than conquerors. Yes, we are. You know, you often read that passage there, you know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you give not heed to the flesh, right? Put on the new man. It's talking about the armor of God. We need to put on the armor of God. So many people misconstrue that passage and they think, oh, well, you know, armor's kind of cold and clammy and, you know, but actually it's talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, which we need to do that. And we need to make sure we take off ourselves every day. And last week we were looking at submission. Submission within the church, within the family, within our jobs. And like I said last week, without love, it means nothing. It means nothing. And God, you know, don't lose heart, people. And I need not to lose heart myself, too. It's just that, you know, God understands our weaknesses, our frailnesses. He knows our shortcomings. That's why we have to remember, like this, during the songs that we have been singing this morning, our hymns, it's the Lord's battle. It's God's battle, not ours. But, you know, we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So Paul is saying here in chapter 6, and we're summing up this book because this book has gone by so quickly. Next week we're going to start in the book of Philippians, the Epistle of Joy. And so I want to encourage everybody to be here next week as well. It states here, finally, you know, and some people look at that and say, finally, my brother. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming to the end of the epistle. Finally. Okay. After all this has transpired, the first three chapters of Ephesians deals with the doctrinal position. Last three is with the practical position that we have. So he's saying, finally, my brethren, I love you, but I want to, that word finally has the idea, I want to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be encouraged today. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, there is a true story here. And I got to turn my mic on. Would that help a little bit? You know, I remember I had to do a wedding and all the sound went off. And the sound went off and the lady who was back in charge of the wedding, she was like, oh, you know, what are we going to do? And I said, sorry, I'll just use my auto voice. But I started using my street preaching voice. Lasudia, the Emperor Lasudia back in 231 AD, and that's probably when Rome was at its zenith for power. Apparently, this man was very anti-Christian, and he decided, you know, he told all his soldiers. So, but there were 40 men, and this is a true story, that they defied Caesar at the time, Lasudia. And we're not going to heed to Caesar. Well, we have our allegiance to Rome, and we'll fight for Rome, but we will not bow to Caesar. And what the guards, some of the men out there said, you know what, you're under arrest. So they, and this is a true story, they had to strip down naked, no clothes on, in the wintertime, march out on the ice, and they started to sing songs. Want to give the devil time, sing songs, God's songs. He hates it. Satan hates us. Don't you ever think that he's just a little here with a pitchfork with a pointed tail running around giving people a hard time. He hates us. It's a warfare. He sang out there. And even the men that were guarding them were like, I can't believe this. These poor naked guys out there. So they go out on the ice too. And they say, oh, we resign from Caesar. We're going to go out there and we're going to sing. Of course, eventually all froze to death. But you know what? Present with the body, present with the Lord. It was their gain. So this is
This is serious business here as we're looking at this here. And to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And goes on to verse 11, to put on. That means to put everything on. As we'll look at the armor of God here in a minute. You know, we need our shoes, right? We need our hats. It's getting cold outside. So these things are important. So the penetration of the outward forces. And remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Look at that in a minute. It says, put on the whole armor, God, that you may be able to stand. That means no matter what. In a military tactics, that means you take a stand. I've used this expression before. A soldier ready for battle would stand like this. He would have his shield here ready, which most shields are about 6 feet high. And depending which legion you were in, at Rome's height, they had about 35 legions, which were about 5,000-6,000 men. And they had different types of groups of people. And they had cavalry along with their legions. So they had to be prepared. We have to be prepared in our minds. Remember, this is a battle for the mind. And we're seeing a lot of it on screen today. A lot on our phones. There's a battle for your mind. They want your time. They want to take away your time for your mind. So it says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that has the idea of the schemes, the methods, the craftiness, the deceitfulness, the luring, the enticing, the trickery, or the slyness. It's all there. And, you know, I've said this to Christians, and I say this to myself as well, that in the church today, Satan tries to do his worst in the church. He tries to do his worst because he wants to destroy the church. He hates us. It's not that he's just a fallen angel, but he has declared war on God's people. And we take this warfare seriously. There was a man called Stonewall Jackson. You realize how he died? He didn't die because of enemy fire. He died because of friendly fire. He was shot 5 times in the back. And because being in the military and others have been in the military, when they say when you fight a skirmish, you don't shoot behind somebody. You shoot at the enemy over there. That's why you've had a lot of friendly fire kills over the years, even until the recent war that we had. That has happened. People have been killed. So we have to be careful we don't shoot each other. We have to be careful what we say to one another. Remember, our words can be blessings or they can be cursings. And be very careful what you hear. And, you know, try to encourage one another, build each other up, understand each other, love one another, even though sometimes somebody I didn't understand the other day, you know, have you ever heard of getting a butt call? That means, and I'm saying this respectfully, if you have your cell phone in your back pocket and you accidentally sit on it and you automatically speed dial somebody and they have no idea, why did you call? Oh, I didn't call you. Oh, okay. Well, you get things straightened out. It was a misunderstanding. And that's why communication is so important. I know it's very basic, very elementary, but I tell you what, everybody's got issues with communication. And Satan can work like a snake in between people's lives and try to destroy their lives. That's why communication is so important. So Jesus communicated with us, and he told us everything we need to know. So Paul goes on to say, remember, he's in jail under house arrest and he is being chained by Roman guards. And therefore, he's looking at these Roman soldiers, what they're dressed like. So he gets an idea here. So Paul goes on to say here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is obviously they looked at wrestling as being very a popular sport. And so God is saying here through His Spirit, we don't wrestle against one another, okay, but against principalities, powers. That gives you a good idea who's behind all this. And remember, if you know you're the problem, hey, I'm the problem. And you know, what is it? You can't blame the devil. You know, realize sometimes the problems are. And so, there we go. Back on. All right. So, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, what are those principalities? They've broken up into ranks here. So the principalities are demonic generals over nations. You notice something that Iran with Israel used to be called Persia. Persia. And that's exactly where Michael had conversed with the prince of Persia, in Daniel. And they fought over messenger that was supposed to come. Because Michael is supposed to be the archangel over Israel. And he fought off, and he says, it took me 12 days to give this message to you, Daniel. So we pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Israel. We pray about Iran, that, you know, they're at war with Israel. And then we see we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And those powers are privates. They are privates. And, you know, so there are many minions of spirits out there that we need to be wisely discerning, though. We need to discern about, like it says, you know, test the spirits and see if they are of the Lord, it says in 1 John. And, you know, we can be deceived by the wrong kinds of spirit. Then there's the rulers of the darkness of the world. That means there are demonic beings in charge of worldly business. Look how corrupt it is today. And people are being fed off of their greediness. They want more and more. Why? Their businesses are getting so big. There's nothing wrong with that. But you got people that will do anything in the worldly business sector as well as the political sector to get whatever they want. Okay, by any means. So we have to watch for that and pray about that. And then there's spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And those are the demonics there in control of religion. So we see that, you know, if Satan can't get to us in our family, he's going to try with the politics, and you can't do that and with religion too. And I tell you what, he doesn't have to do much because people get themselves in trouble. Now I'm going to get to you now with the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ here in a minute here. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now, before we get there, I'm going to have a few other notes here about our adversary. We need not to be ignorant about his devices. He directs our attention towards a need or desire. Sometimes when he tries to get us away from God's will, he'll make something look very good. So be careful. When you're praying about a decision in life, make sure you're following the Lord. The same thing happened with Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. They had everything they wanted. And of course, Satan comes along as something very nice, something very beautiful, and says, have you not checked out the tree of good and evil? Remember, God said, stay away from it. But remember, he phrased it a different way. When we go after the devil with the word of God, because Jesus did when he was tempted, remember? We need to look at the word of God word for word, because cults do the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? They call the Jehovah's Witnesses a God. It wasn't a God. It was Elohim. It was three. and one. They think Jesus is created. So he's very sly. We have to be very good listeners, very good students. The devil chooses times when we are weakest. Of course, when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He does that. And that's why all we can do sometimes is curl up in a fetus position when we're weak. Say, Lord, please help me. Please help me. I'm very weak. I need you to start claiming scripture verses. And sometimes the battle gets so intense. But we know who's on the Lord's side. We know who's on our side. He creates doubt in our minds. Satan's biggest target is the Word of God. He wants us to rationalize things. He wants us to lie about it. He wants us to, did God really say? And then Satan wants us to get into a debate. Temptations are not to be debated, but rejected. Oh, should I or shouldn't I? I don't know. I'm on the fence. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And I'm saying these are things that we go through day after day, week after week, different decisions. So then, no, I'd rather be on the Lord's side. But sometimes you have to take time to pray. You've got to be patient about decisions and things in life. And you've got to take your time. It's tough. I know it. I'm saying these things out of my heart because I know it's not easy. The devil uses deception as a key weapon to deceive and mislead by obscuring the truth. Satan does this by making what evil looks good. In other words, just a little bit, a little lie is not going to hurt. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, I heard that before. Well, look what's happened to our politicians. Look how everything's just so twisted. But if you're on the side of the Lord, the truth will set you free. It's not something that's confusing. It's something that you can just take and understand. The devil uses deception as a key weapon. He wants to create division. He wants to put in that lie. And the politicians use it today. You know, the young people versus the older people. And, you know, it shouldn't be so. It should be, we should be more than anything close to our families, to our young ones, because we can lose them real quick. And the world is constantly trying to grab them. Let me have them. No, you can't have her. She or he belongs to the Lord. And Satan's goal is to destroy us. And of course, he does that a little at a time. One other thing I'm going to say about the devil, then I'm going to get back into the Lord, Jesus Christ. Three verses, his designs. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. You realize the idea of design? The devil has a design on each one of us that he wants to take us down. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He has certain things like discouragement and other things like that. He can get us off track. 2 Corinthians 11:14, but I am not surprised, Paul says, even though Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So he can look good. He can transform himself into anything and try to deceive you. You know, it's just like a dishonest salesman. Not anything against any salesman here. But I've always said, you know, if you got the time, that's fine. I'll give you 5 minutes, and I got 5 minutes of the gospel. You want to hear a quick click, or like the crickets start chirping in the background? You're like, where did that come from? Yeah, it's a good way to witness. So, moving on here. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, having done all to stand. There is a Episcopal bishop recently said in the seminary where they teach, the resurrection of Christ was not real event, but a legend. There was no empty tomb, no angels, no appearances. No reasonable person could believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible. The Virgin and the literal Bible, the Virgin Annunciation, Bethlehem, and the Manger will have to go. And he said, last but not least, he says, the church should actively endorse and celebrate the homosexual behavior. That's crazy stuff. You know, we knew that that's been going on for a long time, knowing about apostasy. They were here, they were part of us, but they left the faith. Not just gone to another church that is like ours, but they just left the faith. They went into another doctrine. We also have to deal with the woke agenda today, which a lot of churches have bought into. They say, you know, hey, evangelicals are hearing that they are white supremacists by nature. Therefore, they need to repent because of their whiteness in the woke culture. Christians are told they are complicit in racist sins of their forebears. So if I'm a white male Christian, I would candidate for that. And I would have to go around telling everybody that I apologize. And we need to get things right. Well, you know what? God never intended it that way. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 16, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That means everybody. Doesn't matter what nation you're from. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier, dividing walls. Talking about the Greek mentality, talking about the Roman mentality, talking about all mentalities that has been broken down by abolishing the flesh that wars within us, which the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so that he himself he might make two into one man, thus establishing peace. He might reconcile them both into one body of God through the cross. And Jews too. If you come to know Christ, it doesn't matter who you are, you're made one in Christ. But having put to death that enemy, so that you are no longer strangers or aliens, but fellow Christians with saints who are in that God's household of faith. Isn't that wonderful? That God can use that not to say, look, we're divided, you know, we're all different, but hey, we're all one in the unity of the body of Christ. We can come together on this. We can work things out. That's why I'm very careful when I witness to people who are Christians. If they're Lutheran, Methodist, I'm very careful because I don't want to lose that conversation because I want to make sure Christ is the center. It's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus Christ and the good news, what he did. And yet that's very simplistic, but we can get very complicated when we start bringing in all the church factors. And I make it very simple. It's our doctrine here is very pure. Very pure, because it's based on the premise of the Word of God. So, Paul goes on to say here, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. So, are we doing everything we can to take a stand? And every day is evil. It is. Even though things look good so far, you know, we always have to keep our guard up. Goes on to say here, it says, Stand therefore, and having girded your waist about with truth. So, when you gird about, would be the first thing they put on is the belt of truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. We have to have truth. And I did skip one verse before that. You realize in Isaiah 59:16-17 that Jesus is the armor. Let me back up here. Jesus is the armor. And Isaiah 59:16-17 says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation. He's talking about God. And Isaiah, Isaiah was writing this down. Brought his own arm of salvation unto him, his righteousness, and it sustained him. Verse 17, where he put on righteousness as a breastplate, in Isaiah 59:17, and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and it was clad with zeal as a cloak. So it was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ standing in the gap for Israel at that time, having the armor. When we look at, this is just a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not literally standing there with armor on. but it's a picture of him, how we should be clothed too. Because we can't fight our enemy on our own. We're powerless. So we need to have truth. We need to put on, girded about with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But anyone who does sin, he has an advocate, a Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness." So we put on Jesus as the breastplate of his righteousness. It's all about the Lord here. And then goes on to say here, we have, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we put on that. And it says, Ephesians 2:14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the flesh, dividing the wall of hostility." We put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have to be prepared every day. Okay? I remember one day, and I can't make this up. I remember I put on two different colored shoes. Because I was tired. Sometimes you just have to run out the door, you grab something. I noticed it when I got in my car at the time, and I had to run back in. It's always good if you're not prepared. Hey, if you got brown and black shoes, sometimes, you know, for us people, you know, it's a little tired. But when that happens, you go back and you get prepared. You get prepared because it's serious business. And God's business is serious. And I've said this before. If we don't get serious with God, God won't get serious with us. And then he goes on to say here also, we need to have, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Says here in Genesis 15:1, "And after these things, the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and says, 'Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward and it shall be very great.'" So Abraham went many places. He did many things in his life, like you all have. But he had that faith. He believed. And some of you tell me, you know what? I believe this is going to happen. And sure enough, the following week, it's come true. It's come true because you believe. And I'm like, wow, you're right. It did happen. That's great. Not that I didn't believe, but your faith was strong. You knew it was going to happen. Nothing was going to stop you. And as soldiers, we should be on the offense. We should be on the offense and help us if we're on the defense all the time. You know, a good war strategy is if you're on the offense and if your enemy's coming at you, you realize that, you know what, Lord, it's your battle. You're going to take care of us. Some of us here today have battles that we're fighting that nobody knows about, but God knows. And sometimes, you know, we just don't see God working, or we just don't see God answering our prayers. Believe it. It's going to happen in his time. But if it's his battle, he'll take care of it in his time. We just need to go on and be faithful to what we were doing. So then we also had the shield of faith, and then there's the helmet of salvation. Put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. You know, the helmets are very important, because they protect the head. And, you know, without your head, you know, you can't live, obviously. You know, you can live without, you can have an artificial heart, right? You can have an prosthetic leg or foot, you know. You can have things in your body that they have today miraculously can fix it. But the head, there's no way they can replace the head. Not that I know of. You know, you say, what about a heart? Yeah, they can replace a heart. And, you know, we need to remember that God gives us the hope of our salvation. We can never lose that salvation. People, let me encourage you today. Some of us have gone through some mighty battles. And some days you wake up and you're thinking you're doing everything right, but yet you're doing everything wrong. And I know what you mean. But you know what? We have our salvation. We get it under the blood. Like I said last week, forgiveness is meant for who? For you. For me. For everybody here. When we sin, we forgive ourselves. We ask God forgiveness. We sin against somebody else. We go to them. Even if that person may think nothing of it, but our conscience is nagging us, at least we can say, you know, did I offend you? I just want to make sure because I love you. You're like, yeah, I'm okay. At least you feel better about it. You know, no one ever feel ashamed or feel embarrassed about it. They're like, you know what? I need to get it right. And then, of course, there's the sword of the Word of God. Revelation 19:15. It says this, now out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword that with it he should strike the nations. The Word of God is that sharp two-edged sword that goes out, the Word of God. It is so important. You know, somebody said, what is God's will? Another person said, hey, that you're willing to do it. Yeah, I'm willing to do it. If God tells me to do it, I'm willing to do it. And it's hard sometimes because we have our own plans. We have our own objectives. So, and then of course, praying always with prayer has the idea of constantly with all kinds of prayer. So we may be praying what we have on our prayer list. We may have a prayer list at home. We may be praying while we're driving our cars, praying as we're witnessing to somebody. But we need to be praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. In other words, we're constantly praying in fellowship with Him. And supplication has the idea of strong pleading. I am pleading with you, Lord. There are some prayers that God woos you. He convicts you, hey, you need to really pray about this. Get serious, and we need to pray. That's another part, I would call it part of the armor, is our prayers. In the spirit, and watchful. And that's the idea here, to keep our guard up. Keep it up. Even around our loved ones, people who we trust, we still got to keep it up, you know. I'm not asking anybody who would be fidgety and nervous all the time. No, God gives us peace. God gives us understanding when the Holy Spirit works. And with all perseverance, has the idea of closely pursuing what God has for us. And supplication, again, the strong pleading for all the saints. So we're pursuing God's will in our life, and the armor that we should be constantly having on, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, which they didn't know until now. This is the church. This is the church, is the great mystery in Ephesus. Paul's writing this to these dear people whom he loves. And he says, for which I am an ambassador or representative. You know, as far as it goes with being a representative of our Lord Jesus Christ, we just got to live it, right? Live it. People want to see us live it. And don't worry about what they think. Let God deal with them. Whether they like you or they like you, just live it. That's what people want to see. That is, and I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, today we live in a hybrid age. Let me explain to you something here, because, you know, knowledge is increasing. Daniel 12:1, isn't it? And people are going to and fro very quickly. Listen to this. There are different kinds of industrial revolutions in the past and in the future, and what has happened now. First of all, we had the agricultural age, which we had our farms and crops and wool many years ago. We still do, but our farms are depleting now. Second came along was the industrial age, where we had our cars, our trains. So we were getting pretty smart, we thought, you know. Third, we had the information age, which is not too far in the past, which was our smartphones, our computers. And now they call it the hybrid age. We have genetic modification. And what they're doing is with manipulating DNA. And I'm saying this having my armor on because you don't want to manipulate what God has made with his DNA. But they're doing that now. And remember talking about that 30 years ago, and some of the people at church, actually, they laughed. They thought it was funny. What? No way. You know, and I said, yeah, they're doing it. Sometimes you know things, people don't believe you. That's okay. At least you spoke the truth. Then there was robots. And they're talking about next year, and they want to eventually get them to the point where they're doing work for you at home. They say that it's going to cost half the price of a car. And the big thing is now war in between China and the United States. Now, hear me now, because this deals with the armor of God. Then there's the biological intelligence, which deals with Neuralink. In other words, they want to implant things in your mind to have you think. They're already doing that now with people who are pledged, who can't move their limbs. I was going to say that word and I can't get it out. But, you know, they're moving along and it's going very fast, very fast. And a lot of things they won't tell you because they're so far ahead of on everything. They can't make money off of it yet. That's all about making money, of course. And, of course, nanotech is making things smaller and smaller. Then there's artificial intelligence, AI. And, you know, this is happening so quick. They want to control you, but don't let them control you. I want to encourage you, be controlled by our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand and do everything that you can to stand. And Paul goes on to say here, but that you may all know my affairs that I am doing, how I'm doing in Titus. He was the one who brought the letter here. And he also took the offering to Jerusalem. And he was a very dear brother to him. And these names that are mentioned in a letter, like if you were to write a letter, people very dear, people very precious. And he says here, that you may know how I'm doing with Titus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that you may comfort your heart. And then I love what he says here. Peace to the brethren, love with faith from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Sometimes I like to put my, before my signature, sincerely in Christ, or genuinely being genuine in Christ. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about putting Jesus Christ on. So I want to encourage you today, get up in the morning, got to put your clothes on. Okay, I'm putting a shirt on, putting my breastplate of righteousness. Putting my shoes on, you know, just picture these things. You're not going to do it every morning. Some mornings you're going to be too tired to find your shoes, you know. Might did what I did, put the wrong shoes on, put your left to your right and your right to your left, you know. It's like, you know. But my heart goes out to, and this, I'm closing with this. A few Wednesdays ago, I shared this Bible study, and I was coming home Wednesday afternoon from Evan, and there was a little girl standing along the side of the road. She had curly hair. She must have been about 3 or 4 years ago. Cute looking, big eyes, standing there, looked all nervous on the edge of the road. There was a car had pulled over. Two ladies had come running across the road. Down the road, I saw a mother come up screaming, "Where have you been? I was looking all over for you." And she's hysterical. And I'm sitting there in my truck just like, wow. You know, some things come out of nowhere, you know. And the little girl just looks around. She looks at me and she starts crying. And I felt like crying because I was like, oh my goodness, a poor babe. You know, she's so innocent, so cute. And I was thinking of, oh gosh, you have all these predators out there. And it was like, oh Lord, thank you. And pray about the child trafficking that's going around here. It's the number one business. It's sick. And that's the kind of a world that we need to fight against. So I just drove by and a verse comes to mind, Ephesians 6:10 says, and we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let us be strong. Let's pray. Let's be there for people. You know, knowing that our courage is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, we may have won some battles. We may have lost some battles. But Jesus Christ is what? Won the war. But remember, our enemy is like the snake with his head cut off. You know, it's still doing this. He can still bite you. So stay away from him. And I got to close. I have to close here because I know Hope's got to go. And I know the Lord wanted me to stop, so I'm not going to get in trouble. So.